Today's episode of Chicken Dinner brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming and the champions of the world. It is last call for you to take advantage of this amazing deal, 20% off and free worldwide shipping to join the party for the Lawnmower 4.0. What are you waiting for? I've used this product for over a month now. It takes 90 seconds. When you're feeling like it's time, bust it out of the box. Zip, zap, it's over. You're trimmed up. You're clean. No cutting, no nicking, no bleeding. This is the product for you. And quit doing that nasty thing you do where you take the trimmer you shave your face with and then go below the belt. That ain't right. Make the me time the best time and enhance your confidence with some nice smooth boys. Promo code is BAWK, B-A-W-K, 20% off, free shipping. The deal ends this weekend. So do what you got to do and join the 2 million men that have given Manscaped their trust.
You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
One riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Thursday, August 12th, 2021. Follow us on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP. Smash the button so you get this podcast once it goes live. We will talk to Adam Chernoff later on in the show from Covers. He moved to the Dominican Republic at age 18 with a little bit of scratch in his pocket to try and take on the world of sports betting. And it's worked out pretty well for Mr. Chernoff. He also booked bets and made numbers at offshore shops. And what is he like in week one of the NFL? All that and more coming up later on in the show. I lost 7 followers this morning by tweeting out a preseason NFL pick, which makes me wonder. Everybody wants picks for the most part, right? Or you want insight or knowledge or education, but mostly people want picks. I must be doing something wrong. There was everybody on the other side of that. I don't usually pay attention to followers like that, but I sent out Washington football team under 19.5 team total this morning, minus 110. Did some research, talked to some people around the team. It feels like a strong wager because Bill Belichick all offseason has harped on how poor they were defensively. And I know it's the preseason, and you're not going to have the starters out there long, but this unit, this whole defensive unit, is going to be playing with something to prove, I believe, all season. So especially the first time out against a lot of backups for the football team, there will be an edge here to this group. And Belichick has talked a lot about Mac Jones against Cam Newton and trying to figure out who the quarterback is for week number one or long term. But in all reality, this is a defensive guru at heart. And he cares more about that side of the ball. When the Patriots are winning Super Bowls, it's mostly because their defense kept them in a lot of games and kept things close for Tom Brady to make some magic. Belichick cut his teeth on defense. Pay attention when you watch on Thursday night to the way this group gets after it. Could it go over 19.5? Of course. It's the fucking preseason. But you also think about where the number has gone. This spread opened up for week one NFL preseason, 32.5. The total, I mean, not the spread. Obviously the total. 32.5. 37s and 37.5s. Now, I would never give you an over 37, 37.5 when the market opened 5 points lower almost. But when the game total rises, the team total rises. And from what I can gather from bettors that do this for a living and bookmakers that take bets for a living, the bets are coming in because of the information that came out today about the Patriots rotation. Cam Newton and Mac Jones are going to play. We talked about this last week. So once it goes public, it's like, wow, maybe they are going to showcase these quarterbacks. Maybe they're going to open up the playbook. Well, yeah, the best bettors in the world went over 33, 33.5, 34. At 37, you shouldn't go over. If anything, you go under. But back to the point about this total rising, it also rises the team total. So Washington's team total at 32.5 game total for a, you know, 2-point favorite, you're talking about what? 16.5, 17.5? So because of the inflation on the total, this thing has gone a little higher. And as I look at the screen here around lunchtime, New England's now a slight favorite in the game. So it may have changed a little bit. I haven't looked at the updated number for Washington's team total. Let me pull up the DraftKings app. That was the most fair price that I could get. Team total on Washington right now has actually gone down, 18.5. So there you go. You go under the team total at its highest point. And that's what we did. When the news comes out, Mike Rice tells Adam Schefter, hey, psst, Cam and Mac are both going to play tonight. New England swings to the favorite, and then the Washington team total ticks down a bit. So I'm glad we did what we did when we did it. People always go, wow, what a degenerate picking the preseason. Pro bettors bet a lot of preseason. I'm not a pro bettor. Nor will I ever claim to be. But have you seen some of these moves? Vegas Rick gave us Denver last week or 10 days ago. Denver was a 1.5, 1-point dog. Denver's now -2.5. And Cleveland opened -4 for Saturday's game against Jacksonville. Cleveland, -4. Jacksonville, -3. Swung through the zero all the way to 3. Do you think that's your buddy who bets $25 a game or fires 5-team parlays? That's not him betting Jacksonville. If you pay attention to these preseason moves, chart it on the open and watch it go over the first 4 or 5 days of market. See what happens. There will be sharp action, of course, day of the game. But I'll tell you what, the sharps already moved on Jacksonville. That's clear. They took Jacksonville +4, +3, all the way down through zero. And eventually there will be buyback on Cleveland. Some syndicate or group somewhere is going to go, hey, we should take Cleveland +3. Of course that's going to happen. But the lines around kickoff are the tightest and the toughest to beat. So that's what happens in the preseason. News comes out, things fucking change. Cam and Mac are going to play. Hey, guess what? New England has gone from +2 to -1. Information, situation. We've talked about this, and we talked about it at length on Nesson.com. Speaking of, I wrote this up yesterday. Patriots odds. Are you ready to make some season-long prop bets? Are you ready? DraftKings had 17 different Patriot props. I've always said this. If you listen to Chicken Dinner, you know this. You've probably heard this 100 times. The more cereal in the aisle, the more likely you are to leave a cereal. So if DraftKings goes, hey, you know, we're going to give you 2 props on the Patriots, you might not like either one of them. But if I give you 17, odds are good. You're going to take something off the shelf and check out. 17 props, and that isn't counting any on the quarterbacks. Nothing quarterback related because we don't know who's starting week one, Cam or Mac. We don't know. So they can't give you a number on Cam Newton's passing yards or Mac Jones touchdowns because there's no certainty around the plan. But here are a couple that caught my attention. I want to give my colleague Dakota Randall a lot of credit on this. He writes for Nesson. Chase Winovich under 6.5 sacks, +105, plus money, under 6.5 sacks. Dakota doesn't think Winovich is going to play much this year. Could be a trade, could be a cut, who knows. But when you look at stopping the run, that's paramount for a Belichick defense. And Winovich couldn't do it. Yeah, he's good on third down at running around the tackle or getting through the line and getting to the quarterback. But Belichick doesn't give you run if you don't stop the run. And what did he do in the offseason? Matt Judon, Kyle Van Noy. Boom, boom. So Winovich is now behind those two on the depth chart. And there doesn't really appear to be an avenue to 7 sacks, given the way the roster's constructed. I don't know what happens to Chase Winovich long term. I have no idea. But if you look at the bodies in front of him and you look at the depth chart, he's not going to get as many snaps. He's just not. And there's a chance that he's not really here that long. So you don't necessarily want him to get cut week one, go somewhere else and have a good season. You want him to maybe not play first 3-4 weeks, not get some run, then go, hey, Bill, I want out. And then they trade him, and then from there he's trying to learn a new scheme, and it's likely he's not going to get the 7 sacks. So Winovich under 6.5. I like Damian Harris over 845.5 rushing yards, and that's flat, minus 110. If you've followed the Patriots or watched the Patriots, you're sort of used to this running back by committee. 1 week it's this guy, the next week it's that guy. I don't think that's the case in 2021. Harris has every opportunity to take this job and run with it. In 10 games last year, 691 yards. That's a lot for 10 games. And you need over 845. He's going to be the guy. Like, James White is out there a lot in passing situations. But this football team did a lot on the offensive line because they couldn't run the ball from the tailback position last year. Harris, 950 yards. I don't know if he gets 1,000, but I like over 845.5 a lot. The only thing that worries me is an injury. But I'm not going to go through life scared. Oh, he could get hurt. A lot could happen. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. I'm not going to live my life that way. Over it is on Damian Harris. Over 845.5. And the other one is the Patriot playoff prop. There's a lot of long shots on the board. Patriots win their first 5 games, 13-1. Patriots to be the one seed in the AFC, 22-1. I wouldn't bet that with your money. Patriots to reach the AFC championship, 9-1. That's probably my favorite long shot. But you still have to deal with Kansas City and Buffalo and Baltimore. They could make the game. They don't have to win it. They have to make it to reach the championship game, 9-1. Defense should be good enough. But as you know, as you follow the last handful of years, we've talked about this all the time. Who's your quarterback? Last year in the AFC, NFC championship games, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Usually you have to have a dude under center to get to that game. But 9-1, I don't hate 9-1. So those are all the long shot props. I want to keep it simple and take plus money. Patriots make the playoffs. This roster has been bolstered enough, and there's enough talent clearly here to win 10 or 11 games. That's the win total, 9.5. 9 juice to the over, 9.5 juice to the under. DraftKings has plus 110 on the Patriots making the playoffs. FanDuel has +0.25, plus 125. All Belichick did in the offseason was stew over that 7-9 campaign for months, watching film, breaking shit down, seeing what went wrong, and then going out and making corrections. Made trades, spent like a maniac, and most teams that usually do that are desperate, but most teams don't have Bill Belichick. He put money on the offensive line, the defensive line, and tight ends, protecting the quarterback and controlling the line of scrimmage. And that's why I believe New England makes the playoffs. I am shorting Miami. I don't like a lot of other teams in the AFC. Indianapolis has some concerns with Wentz and Nelson out. Denver, people thought they were going to get Rodgers. That team's not going to make the playoffs. I don't like Pittsburgh. So really, you narrow your list down, there's like 8 or 9 teams I think could make the playoffs. Patriots are one of those teams. And given all that happened last year and how much they've corrected a lot of these mistakes on paper, I think that's a good bet on the Patriots to make the playoffs. Are they going to make noise in the playoffs? I don't know. Probably not. But can they make the playoffs? Absolutely. And you get plus money. Plus 110. So that's a lot of Patriots talk in the first 15 minutes of this show, but that's what's pressing in Foxborough right now. And in New England, where I work, it's a lot of Patriots stuff because everybody's excited for the NFL. We got Washington football team under 19.5. Tweeted it out this morning at Chicken X Dinner. And those are the three props I like the most. Winovich under sacks, Harris over rushing, Patriots to make the playoffs. We are all booked for Las Vegas. Going out August 21st to August 24th, signing up for the Super Contest and the Circa Survivor with Winner's Circle Proxy Service. I'm going to try and redeem myself for last season's Week 1 dud in Survivor. When the boys had Indianapolis over Jacksonville, the Jags won that game, knocked us out, and then the Jags proceeded to go 0-15 the rest of the way. You can't make it up. But we're going back. Team Nesson is going to do the Super Contest. I'm doing Survivor with some buddies. I want one of them big plastic checks from somewhere. I need one. That's one of my life goals, to get a big plastic check for a lot of money. And for the show, I've lined up interviews with the following people for my time in Vegas. We're going to the Westgate. Going to talk to Jay Cornegay, Ed Sammons, Jeff Sherman. Golden Nugget, Tony Miller. Going to Circa, Matt Metcalf, who never does media. Chris Andrews, South Point. Robert Walker, U.S. Bookmaking, who ran the Mirage and the Stardust. Dwayne Colucci at the Rampart. Alan Berg at WinBet. Sitting down with all of those guys behind the counter to talk to them, because their stories are important. And they've forgotten so much. They know so much, they've probably forgotten 70% of the shit they've learned. But these are the guys that move money and make lines and see a lot of action. And their stories are all unique. They're all unique. And I'm honored to be able to go down there and go into all of these back rooms and talk to them for you. It's exciting. So that'll be scattered through late August into early September. I'm going to scatter those interviews over the next, well, not the next, but from that stretch. It's about a 2 or 3 week stretch where I'm going to just plug those interviews in these shows. Speaking of Chris Andrews, he did it again. Of course, he's the sportsbook director at the South Point Hotel and Casino, just south of the Strip in Vegas. He gave you the national championship prop in college football. And he's giving you factions of six. Six, 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 and then the field. If you haven't seen it, here are the options. Alabama, Texas, Iowa State, Miami, Penn State, Cincinnati, plus 225. You get all six of those teams to win the national championship. Second faction, Clemson, LSU, USC, Notre Dame, Florida, Wisconsin, 4-1. I hate that leg. Aside from Clemson, I don't like any of those teams to win the title. Here's the favorite, Ohio State, Oklahoma. I get those two. I like that. Georgia, North Carolina, Oregon, Texas A&M, minus a quarter. Minus 125. Then there's the field at 20-1. If you're feeling like lighting money on fire, bet the field.
I like Coastal Carolina. Go Liberty.
Ohio State, Oklahoma. If you asked me to pick two teams to win the national championship without these groups, who's one, who's two? I'd probably go Ohio State, Oklahoma. Then Alabama, then Clemson. That would be how I would power rate the four. So if you're going to give me Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Georgia, and Oregon, I think that's the move at minus 125. Alabama's dangerous. We know that. Texas, meh. I like Iowa State, but you lose me in Miami, Penn State, Cincinnati. And then Clemson, with that group, huge drop-off to LSU, USC, Notre Dame. So I would probably lay the small chalk and go minus 125 on the Ohio State-Oklahoma group. What would you do? Two more things before we get to Adam Chernoff. I saw one of the worst bet boosts you will ever see, and I want to tip my hat to a Twitter user named Gotronica, spelled the way you would normally spell Gotronica, G-O-A-T-R-O-N-I-C-A. He tweeted, quote, "I think I found the worst odds boost ever, courtesy of Bet Rivers. Here's some math to show how poorly this is priced." And the bet was the following. Any starting pitcher to record a complete game on Monday, August 8th, 2021. Yes, minus 125. Which makes No sense. I'm like, wait, huh? I saw that tweet and I'm thinking, that's not right. That can't possibly be right. Because guys don't go nine anymore. So Gotronica, it's a threat. He follows up with math and stats and numbers and all that. To that date, on Monday, August 8th, there had been 39 complete games through almost 1,700 games in Major League Baseball. That's 2.3% of all games. And here's the kicker. Here's the fucking kicker. There were only five games scheduled on Monday. Only five. So you only have 10 starting pitchers. How is this minus 125? It makes no sense. Gotronica said the true math should have been plus 810. So you should have gotten 8-1 on this prop. And Bet Rivers has it up. Hey, come on and bet. Minus 125. And it's not a two-way prop. It's a one-way prop. So you don't get to bet the no. You only bet the yes. They're giving you a price that's $8 off. And people are betting it. It's minus 80% expected value. So a couple people catch wind of this and start tweeting at Bet Rivers and go, yo, what is this? Well, Bet Rivers plays the whoopsie card. And they take the price down. They move it from minus 125 and they post it back up at 7-1. My bad. Sorry. This is why you have to check these companies. That's a joke. And I feel bad for you if you laid that minus 125. But you have to know, if you see a bet like that, you have to look up how many complete games have there been this season. If there have been 39 in 1,700 games, you can't even compute minus 125. And then they just take it down and say they're sorry and put up a new price. But they probably caught a lot of people on that. Pay attention, please. Last thing. Did you see what happened earlier this week? Darren Revelle broke the story from the Action Network. DraftKings bought Golden Nugget Online Gaming and its database of 5 million gamblers, a stock deal worth $1.56 billion. It will be a huge boost to DK's iGaming and casino product. Revelle added that Rockets owner Tillman Fertitta owns the majority of the Golden Nugget brand. We just talked about the list last week. It's all about these sportsbook companies getting lists and getting you in their database, and then, hey, let's find a way to take bets in the online casino. Gaming. Not betting, gaming. Online poker. Online blackjack. Online roulette. So is DraftKings a casino company now? Just got 5 million gamblers from Golden Nugget Online Gaming. And then Howard Stutz added on Twitter that the DraftKings acquisition of Golden Nugget Online Gaming gives DraftKings market access to Nevada, because guess what? Now they can attach themselves to Golden Nugget Las Vegas and Golden Nugget Laughlin. Aha! It's all about the list. We tried to tell you last week. And days later, DraftKings buys Golden Nugget Online Gaming. Funny how that works, isn't it? Joining us on Chicken Dinner for the first time, and hopefully not the last, Adam Chernoff, who works for Covers now, and he's the host of the Simple Handicap podcast. I do love that your podcast is so bite-sized, and it got even more bite-sized when you started looking at these teams for the 2021 season. 8 to 12 minutes. That is so consumable.
The goal is to just become part of everybody's morning routine. And so I figured if I can have 8 to 12 minutes of somebody's morning, they're probably going to listen to what I have to say rather than if I was talking for an hour and a half midday and everyone just tuned out.
Some of these podcasts are like 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh, it's too much, especially when it gets into like the nuts and bolts of football betting. It's like you can go down so many different paths and directions. It's just I can't do that to an audience. And so I try to keep it very, very concise.
You are a master at the NFL at understanding the numbers. You've created numbers. You've been tutoring Twitter on how to make power ratings and all that. But I wanted to start with your journey. I don't know if many people know this. You left home in Canada You're like 18 years old and you head south. You go to the Dominican to try and crack it in sports betting. How much money did you have in your pocket?
Right around $2,000. And so it was like right immediately after graduating, went from a town of about 2,000 people in Saskatchewan, Canada, and was on a one-way ticket to the Dominican. And like the goal was just to be like, how long can I last? Like there wasn't like this big elaborate plan to like make it in sports betting. And that was not necessarily ever like the intention that it would turn into this at all. And it was just, I'm going to be that guy from a graduating class of like 16 people to like see how long I can last and just like be different. And then 13 and a half years later, every single day since has been on one side or the other of the counter in the sports betting world, and now sort of into an actual long-term home and role with covers, as you mentioned at the top of the show. And it's been an interesting journey, to say the least.
What's that first year like when you're down there? You don't know much. You have an idea of the NFL. You've clearly watched the NFL, but you don't know what you know now. What was that first year like?
Oh, it was beautiful because I knew nothing, but I thought I knew everything. And so it was like, now if I were to go do that, I would be horrified of so many different things that could potentially come up that I've learned along the way. But it was just, there was no worry at all. And like the places I was going and the people I was dealing with, I just had no idea. And it was all crazy. And like the way I was and the way I looked in the middle of the Dominican Republic at age 18, it doesn't make sense really. And yet it was like, it was just the only option that I had. And I was like, this is the answer. Like what could go wrong? And just kind of trek through. And if I had to do it now, there's no chance that I could go through and do it. But it was just the right time and the right place for so much of it.
In a weird way, it's almost like you did an internship without knowing it. And I have this conversation with people that are new bettors all the time. You know, when you watch television or you read the newspapers, you hear about, oh, well, what does Vegas think about the line? Fucking Vegas ain't number one anymore, man. I mean, down in the Central America area in Panama and Nicaragua and all that, like, that's where the juice is, and that's where the heavy hitters are, and that's where you're taking big bets. You had to be a sponge down there just soaking up everything from who you talked with and who you worked with.
Yeah, and that's, like, kind of the joke I make along the way here is, like, I've made so many mistakes and screwed up so many different things in the last 13 years. But every single one of them has like led me to the position I'm in today and knowing these sort of obscure and different things about it. Like despite never really having any sort of formal education or anything, like I got immersed within this world, like you were mentioning. And there's my first real like bookmaking job was in Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago in 2011. And I mean, like we were taking bets, we were writing stuff on whiteboards with markers and then handwriting tickets and giving them out. And I remember I was trying to come up with prices and trying to figure out how to do it and try to come up with numbers for like the local soccer matches that they were having going on. And the guy in the casino came out and he's like, why are you trying to do all of this research and all this work? Like there's already all of these prices out there at Pinnacle and other books that have them. Like, you're not going to make a better number on the local matches than they already have. And like, just use that to save yourself 8 hours of work a day. And that was obviously, there was no origination going on in that shop. It was just a matter of like, just trying to write tickets. And I was like, oh, like I never thought of that. That makes a lot. They're probably better at this than I am at age 18 and a half, trying to put stuff on a whiteboard with markers. And so it was like, oh, that's where these prices come from. And then it's like, oh, here's what an odd screen is. And oh, here's which books matter and which books are moving the markets. Oh, what betting limits, like they're higher at some places than others. And like, it was just, and so it just all sort of built. And then like you were learning through that from like running this shady business in the back, which eventually progressed into much bigger locations that I worked for that actually there was origination going on and the creation of numbers. But like, if I were to have to jump into those latter stages without understanding like how things actually work and where the money goes and how the markets flow, like I would have been completely lost in that too. So it's just like a weird crash course of sort of picking things up along the way.
I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to guess, Adam, that you make a side and a total or a spread and a total rather for every game and then compare notes with the board. Am I onto something here? Is that how you start your process?
Yeah, for sure. Every NFL game, Sunday night, the week prior, I'll have a side and a total. And I also have a very good idea of when numbers are off or if I'm way off. And that just comes from like experience and feel and seeing where the numbers hit the board and how they move early. But most of the time it's me being way off and the answer is somewhere in between.
You're being modest.
It's mostly true. The numbers are okay, but there's a lot of times if there's a huge difference, I tend to lean towards me being wrong more so than the number being supposed to be wrong.
Well, let's go to a number in week one that I think is wrong, and maybe you can counter with one that you think is wrong. I can't make any sense of 453 and 454. These two teams played late last season, and Buffalo was, I believe, a 3-point favorite, or maybe it was a 2.5-point favorite against Pittsburgh. They were beat. They were worn out. Big Ben couldn't do jack. And I think that team ran out of gas. I think we could all agree on that. But I can't make any sense of how Buffalo has gone from 2.5-3 to -7 for week number one against a motivated and well-rested Steelers team. How do I not take 7?
So if I remember that game right from the top of my head, that game last season, I think the Steelers opened as favorites. And that was, I believe it was a Sunday night game, was the one that you were talking about specifically. And like there was immediate disagreement. And I can't remember exactly what week that was, but it was right when sort of that win streak that the Steelers had to start the year was coming to an end. And then there was like this huge shift where people were like, oh, this team actually isn't nearly as good as we thought that they were. And so, yeah, like you said, we've come basically like a full, like 4.5 points through the three. Like that's a pretty gigantic move. It's a huge number. There's no question about it. And I think if you're just looking at the sides here, you're probably going to have to lean towards the Steelers. I guess my take on the Bills in general going into this year, it's still a lot to learn and figure out, but we're putting a lot of trust into this team being priced where they are and sort of meeting the expectations that they have off of what could arguably be the best season that Josh Allen will have in his entire career. And like the leap that he took last year throughout the course of the season was incredible. And like year one and two, like I was just beating him down relentlessly. And I probably cracked around like week 14, 15 last year. I was like, all right, I got to let go of this one. But like everything worked. Dayball's fantastic. But like that year three leap that he had was unlike anything we've seen from any other quarterback in the league. And like the pieces around him certainly helped. And the play calling of Dayball helps. And that coaching staff was phenomenal. But like now, like you're mentioning, like this is a huge swing in price. And we're seeing that in the win totals, we're seeing that in the futures, everything. But like how much of that is based off of Josh Allen having what arguably could be the best season of his career? Like, are they going to be that explosive again? I don't know if that's necessarily the case. And the Steelers still have a very good defense. And we're seeing that sort of reflected within the total. But if Ben is nearly as healthy or fit, I don't know which one you would call it with him, but looking a lot better, sounds a lot more promising coming out of Steelers camp. So like, yeah, I agree. That number's pretty large.
You're right. Week 14, it was a Sunday night game and the final score was 26-15 Buffalo, but Pittsburgh did open as the smallest of favorites and it closed Buffalo -2. And like I said, Pittsburgh was out of gas at that point. So I can't make much sense of an opening number starting at Pitt -1. And this one's Buffalo -7. It's an 8-point move. I can't figure it out. Is there a line in week one that doesn't make sense to you?
I would tend to lean towards probably like if I had to pick one right now, I would say that in general, I'm just down on Washington. And it's another situation. There's like 5 or 6 teams this year where I feel like we're looking at the roster and we're like, yeah, that roster is going to be great. And yeah, the quarterback situation, you know, it's not very good, but like, oh yeah, that name sounds decent. Like I think they can make it work. And I can't help feel that that's the case with Fitzpatrick and Washington in general. Like we're just sort of assuming that, yeah, he was like good with Miami last year in spots, but like he's 38. And again, like last year, that was his best season since 2011 from like a lot of key ratings and stats. And so it's another one of those teams similar to Buffalo where it's like, well, there's a quarterback that had a fantastic year. Yeah, the roster's pretty good around him. Like, he's just going to step into this new team, brand new system, and just everything's going to be the same because they have weapons and defense is great. And the thing that stands out to me with Washington, again, the like huge year last year as a team overall, but their defense was extremely good. But if you look over the course of the season, all of their best games were against the weakest offensive opponents. Like, this team absolutely feasted on just bad quarterback play from opponents and just bad offensive play in a lot of spots. And then when they had to play sort of the top tier of the league, that's when we saw them struggle quite a bit. And so matched up against the Chargers, basically in a pick 'em spot, that number to me, I think just Washington's getting too much respect in general.
They have a great defense, but Adam, their defense was also healthy
the entire year.
How often in the NFL do you see a team with that many good players on the front stay healthy in back-to-back seasons?
Yeah, it doesn't happen. And it's going to catch up to them at some point. Might not be week one, but I think Washington's another one of those teams that is just, we're just assuming too much based on a season ago.
Is there a team you're more optimistic on? We've talked about a couple teams that maybe exceeded expectations last year, Buffalo, Washington. Is there a team that didn't play well or maybe had a couple bad breaks and you expect regression the right way in 2021?
I think that was a setup for a team that we both have bets on at this point.
Yes!
Very optimistic on Minnesota. Looking at week one, whether it's a side or a total shaded to the over, you can take your pick on that one, but I'll probably have both. But I love Minnesota heading into this season. We talked about the Washington defense and how strong that was last year. Minnesota has always been a strong offensive team or a strong defensive team. And last year they had four starters in the front seven injured or opt out before the season. And then they had the youngest cornerback room in the NFL. The oldest guy on that roster was 23 last season. They were all in their first year with Mike Zimmer. And Zimmer's this crazy defensive coach. His system is one of the most complicated in the NFL. They didn't figure it out until like week 11 or 12 last year. So now all of those guys in the front seven return. Everyone in the secondaries in their second year with the system, they bring in Patrick Peterson. They've got some veterans to reinforce. So like defensively strong, both levels, great. Love it. Love what Zimmer can do. Then you move to the offensive side of the football. Quietly last year, Kirk Cousins, the most accurate passer in almost every metric that stands out for accuracy within the NFL. He can make plays, and he's got the weapons outside to utilize. I think this is going to be another big year for the offense. The offensive line is the best that Cousins will have had in his time with Minnesota. So all of those worries about pressure and how he crumbles, I think we can like negate those to an extent. And then the big thing overall that we're going to see from Minnesota this year, home field advantage for them was huge. 35-15 since the stadium opened prior to last season. Last year at home, they go 3-5, their worst home field performance any season since that season opened. Now the fans are back. That element of the whole COVID situation negated that sort of changed everything last year for them. We're going to see that all working in their favor. I just think it's a big year for Minnesota overall. And if we want to talk about week one specifically, I have the Bengals circled as one of the biggest over teams in the NFL. And so I really love what the Bengals have offensively, but it's going to be one of the worst defensive units in the NFL. I think the Vikings can do a lot on the ground through the air. That totaled at 48, one of the shorter on the board. Average total for week one is right at 50. We saw last year right at 49.5. So that's a pretty short number overall. So whether you want to go side or total there, you can do both. But love everything about Minnesota.
Yeah, that game 10 years ago, that total is 43. Minnesota-Cincinnati. Or lower. Yeah, maybe 41.5.
Yep, for sure. No, that's a nice number to look at.
New England is a very perplexing team, and obviously that's my audience up here now in New England with the Patriots. Usually in an offseason, when a GM or the head of player personnel gets shifty, starts making trades, opens up the checkbook, starts spending a lot of money, usually that's a bad thing. But usually it's not Bill Belichick, the genius who understands roles and fits. He didn't spend on flashy wide receivers. He didn't spend a lot of money on a quarterback. He filled the trenches. He stacked the offensive line. He got guys on defense that could stop the run. He spent money, I believe, in the right places. And you can get plus money on that team, you know, plus 10, plus 15 to make the playoffs. Are you interested?
Yes to all of it. And so the theme, I guess, of this episode has been in those teams last year off of the big seasons where they probably overexceeded. And then this in New England, similar to the case of Minnesota, a team that really played down last year, but there were a couple sort of underlying reasons why that don't necessarily exist. And it's important to remember that guys like Marcus Cannon, Matt Lacoste, Dont'a Hightower, Patrick Chung, all expected starters. It was like this time or later last year, whenever that cutoff was for the opt-outs, they all pulled the plug last second. And so it really sort of sent things within New England a little bit upside down, because not only did you have the departure of Brady and Newton coming in and that whole thing working, but then you lose like a ton of key guys. And I look at those moves that Belichick made in the offseason, bringing in Henry, bringing in Smith. They've got really the right pieces similar to Baltimore that are needed to beat Kansas City, which is what everyone in the AFC is going for. And you can't outscore Kansas City, especially with what the Patriots have for skill position players last year. And I think they recognize that. And they're like, okay, what's the quickest path we can go to be competitive with Kansas City? It's not going to be with firepower and trying to outscore them. We're going to have to control the clock, hold the ball, and build a very similar roster to that of Baltimore. So you bring in Henry, you bring in Smith, love both of those moves. Hopefully Henry can stay healthy. That works out well with what Newton does on the ground. It gives him some big targets and options. And the whole roster, the way it's constructed, very similar to the roster that Newton had in 2015 when they went 15-1 in Carolina. A couple big tight ends, big receivers, options on the ground from running, a great offensive line in front of them. Like, everything's built up to sort of support that. And it's, like, again, like, everything in the AFC is to beat Kansas City, and you either do it like sort of a Titans way where you have that offensive firepower and you just hope that you can potentially outscore them and pray, or you can go like the Baltimore route. Hasn't been successful, but if you're just thinking about it sort of logically, what's the way you're going to do it? I think the Pats saw that was the quickest way. That's why the moves went. And so looking at their win total of 9, I think that's going over. Playoff odds, I think you have to take those as well. Again, last year they led the league in NFL opt-outs. They had Newton's injury up and down throughout the season. They didn't have any receivers whatsoever. All of that seems to be fixed. The offensive line is going to be great. The defense is going to be better. I think it's a great year for the Patriots coming up.
I wanted to wrap things up talking about why you care so much to help. You have clearly made it your mission to try and make people smarter and more educated and help them understand. Why is that so important to you?
It's a good question. I think it's probably just where I'm from, how I was raised, small town, farming town. That's just kind of the values that were instilled within me. I love creating content. I love discussions. And now, like with the role that I'm in, it's all about understanding the user, understanding what they want to see, and creating a solution for them. So there's just, I think, something that just always has sort of gravitated me towards that. That's always been sort of just instilled for me from a very young age. And like, to be quite honest, beyond that, I owe the industry a lot. And it's kind of a goofy thing to say, considering sort of what fuels the industry and how it is. But like coming out of high school, like there was no path. There was never an option for university. There was never an option for college. There was never like thinking about that whatsoever. It was like at the time, like the biggest job outside of taking this shot at going south and seeing what can happen was working for a stamp concrete company. I was going to be pushing wheelbarrows of concrete and forming out driveways and sidewalks and things like that for wealthy customers. And like, that was the idea that was like, yeah, that sounds like a good life to have and make money doing that. And so it was like, I owe the industry a lot because it's given me everything that I have in my life. It's given me the chance to meet my wife. It's given me the chance to travel. Like, everything that I have really in life at the moment goes back to betting in some way. And so to be able to do something within the industry and make it better. It's a lofty goal, but it's something that it means a lot to me from that perspective. And so a lot of people get value from my content. A lot of people don't. Hopefully more so the balance is a little bit better with some of the products that I'm working to produce, but it's just what I do and who I am really at the end of the day.
I love that. I don't want to spoil anything, but make sure you're following Adam at Adam Chernoff, C-H-E-R-N-O-F-F. He works for Covers. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And if you follow Adam, you'll be able to get some sneak peeks potentially and see everything when it's unveiled. I'm glad that you're back at a Canadian company at Covers, right? You're working hard. You're having fun. And we got the NFL in a month, man. I know you're pumped.
I can't wait. And it's a normal season. Last year was fun. We had it, but like just back to it. And I can't wait. And everything's just nice and calm this time of year compared to the last couple of seasons where it's been a little bit hectic. So I think it's going to be a great season.
I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks very much for having me on, and keep it rolling with the pod.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Adam Chernoff for hopping on the show. I could talk to him for hours on end. We had to cut that short at about 22 minutes. I could have gone a lot longer. But good stuff from him. He's putting together a very sexy tool that's an odd screen that will help you out. And it will be free. So I won't really share much more. But when that does come out, we'll be happy to share that with you on our Chicken Dinner Twitter page. We've got two pending right now. We added this one a while ago. Broncos pick 'em against the Vikings week one of the preseason. And the Washington football team under 19.5 points at -110. There you have it. That's the show this week. Cash some tickets. Make some money. We'll talk to you next time right here on Chicken Dinner. Fire brimstone.